With his snow-white hair, clear blue eyes, and handsome, chiseled face, W.S. Merwin exudes the intelligence and gravitas one might expect from America's most public poet. But it is the inner worlds of love, loss, and sorrow that Merwin endeavors to explore, as in this poem called Separation, which he reads here.
Separation. Your absence has gone through me like thread through a needle. Everything I do is stitched with its color.
Merwin eschews mere prettiness in his poems, choosing instead to reveal the wildness and poetry within himself as a bridge to the inner lives of others and to nature itself.
But it would have to be that way, wouldn't it? I mean, I can't take you to your place. I don't know your place. And our great prophet Thoreau said something about another man's mind is a dark forest.
Why do you think the word forest is a good word for that?
That's a wonderful question. There's always part of the forest which you discover, which you don't know, and which you wander in. That's why, you know, it persists in fairy tales. So every child recognizes that forest. It's the place where you can't tell the difference between dreaming and waking.
It is that shoreline between waking and dreaming, land and sea, that we hear in Merwin's short poem, The Tidal Lagoon, which he wrote in Hawaii, where he has lived since the 1970s.
From the edge of the bare reef in the afternoon, children who can't swim fling themselves forward calling and disappear for a moment in the long mirror that contains the reflections of the mountain.
Merwin says that poetry often deals with levels of reality that lie just outside our everyday perception, but that can be reached through the poetic imagination.
Poetry is about what cannot be said. Poetry is that Iraqi woman on the front page of the paper with her mouth open because her husband has just been destroyed by a bomb in front of her. And what on earth can be said? Just one long scream coming out of her. And from that comes poetry. And that's why people turn to poetry at times when they can't say it, when they're helplessly furious or when they're hopelessly in love or when something ghastly happens. When the World Trade Center was hit, a friend of mine who was in a big bookstore chain said, "Nobody's reading anything except poetry now." I mean, a lot of people didn't even know why they were reading poetry, I suppose, but this was the only thing that was going to speak to the situation. From the unsayable, from what cannot be expressed, I think that's what is the origin of poetry. Both the frustration that you can't say it and the passion that insists on saying it. And our life is like that. I think these two sides are there all the time.
For Merwin, what makes humans unique is the capacity for imagination, and therefore compassion, both qualities that poetry evokes.
It's what makes us concerned about the suffering of the whales, or the porpoises, or the people dying of AIDS in Africa, or the plight of a single mother with three children. That is something that is largely developed in our own species, that the capacity for compassion, for recognizing that someone else's situation is one's own situation, that there is no separation, that suffering really is the same.
It was both compassion and rage that fueled Merwin's collection of poems called The Carrier of Ladders. The volume dealt with America's military involvement in Vietnam, and it won the 1971 Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. Here he reads from Asians Dying.
When the forests have been destroyed, their darkness remains. The ash, the great water, follows the possessors forever. Nothing they will come to is real, nor for long. Over the watercourses, like ducks in the time of the ducks, the ghosts of the villages trail in the sky, making a new twilight.
Merwin's profound connection to the natural world and his sadness at its continued degradation by man has been a theme in his life and poetry since he was a child. He remembers that 20 years ago he could hear the separate songs of 9 nightingales in the rural French village where he once lived. Today, when he visits the village, he hears no nightingales there. There were once hordes of swallows in the village as well. Now there are none.
No one seems to notice that, you know. I mean, I don't know what distresses me more, the fact that they aren't there or the fact that nobody notices. Mm-hmm. What does that say about us, that we think it's okay to have a world without swallows in it?
Merwin says he wrote his poem, For a Coming Extinction, in response to the Mexican government's decision to build a bridge across the Sea of Cortez that would have sealed off the gray whale's breeding grounds.
Gray whale, now that we are sending you to the end, that great God, tell him that we who follow you invented forgiveness and forgive nothing. I write as though you could understand and I could say it. One must always pretend something among the dying. When you have left the sea nodding on its stalk, empty of you, tell him that we were made on another day. The bewilderment will diminish like an echo.
Raising the alarm is a big part of how Merwin envisions his role as America's poet laureate.
I don't want to be a preacher, but I do want to say once in a very public place, in a very kind of official place, this. I think we're doing something very dangerous. I think we're really insisting on driving at 80 miles an hour with a stone wall just not very far down the road. And somebody has to at least question it.
Merwin offers one partial answer to such questions in his poem, Place.
On the last day of the world, I would want to plant a tree. What for? Not for the fruit. The tree that bears the fruit is not the one that was planted. I want the tree that stands in the earth for the first time, with the sun already going down and the water touching its roots, and the earth full of the dead, and the clouds passing one by one over its leaves.
W.S. Merwin is the 17th Poet Laureate of the United States. He spoke with me on a recent trip to New York. I'm Adam Phillips, VOA News.